The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Joe, let's talk about what happened yesterday. And you have such an interesting perspective, having traveled this country, having done the biggest and the best games, including the semifinals. Just sitting there watching it last night, take us through your thoughts.
A couple things, obviously. I am one who really guards against hyperbolic assessment and being a prisoner of the moment and recency bias. But as we're sitting there watching Devontae Smith and coming off of the season he had, and then coming off the Rose Bowl performance he had, and then watching what he was doing so seemingly effortlessly last night in the first half, I felt for the first time in a long time as a sports fan and historian that it was very fair, if not justified, in real time to start having the conversation of, are we watching the single best college football player in the moment that we've seen in a singular season? I think that actually became a fair conversation last night. And I am not one, as you know, I am one who will rail against anybody using superlatives of this is the best that, the best this. I'm the guy who'll turn to somebody and say, oh, really? Tell me your number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Or I'll challenge you. I think it's very difficult to make a well-founded argument anytime you speak in superlatives. I think in the case of Devontae Smith, the season that we watched and the last two games, it's not just the statistical performance. It's not just the accolades that are being hauled in. It's the spots and it's the way he's doing it. It's the eye test that allows you to also say on top of everything you know, this may be the best you're ever going to see in a single moment, a single season playing college football.
Joe, I realize his career is over now, but as you watched him last night, what is that line of demarcation between him and a million other guys, not a million, but quite a few wide receivers that are elite, that are stunning to watch, incredible football players?
I felt he was gliding last night. I felt like he was playing a game that didn't take any effort for him and yet was exceptional, was uncoverable, was twice as fast as everybody else, could do anything he wanted at any time. And I also, and I'm sure a lot of your calls and a lot of your conversations have gone towards this today, but give Steve Sarkisian incredible credit here for putting together a game plan and creating more and more unique ways to get Devontae Smith into space, to utilize him, and to layer a lot of the play calling, especially the pre-snap motion, some of the orbit motion stuff that they were using last night, and then layering a different play on top of it. It bordered on artistry in that first half. It really did. There was an artistic quality to watching the play calling last night and then the execution of Devontae Smith. I don't know what's going to happen with Devontae Smith at the next level. Obviously, he's going to have a fine NFL. He's going to have an NFL career. But everything in the NFL becomes fit and system and surrounding pieces and parts, and everybody has equal talent. But the player that we've been afforded the opportunity to watch over these 4 months, and then specifically these last few games down the stretch of the Heisman win into the postseason, the Rose Bowl in the first half we saw last night, I don't believe it gets better than that at this level of the game. I really don't, Paul. And you and I have watched and covered and worked in this sport for a very long time, and we have great respect for the history of the sport. I don't believe it may be as good down the road by somebody very special, but I don't know that you'll ever see better than what you saw this year on Devontae Smith and then capped with that first half last night.
And I don't want to go down that road that I've already been down all day today about the greatest, because you can say the same thing every year and it's meaningless. But I am interested in your perspective of this Alabama team in the more all-encompassing season that we've experienced, that you've experienced, not only as a broadcaster, sure, but as a father.
Yeah, listen, it's an all-time great team, but the thing that I appreciate more than trying to stack it up against past Alabama teams or great teams in the history and annals of the sport is just how much it plays to the constant conversation we have about Coach Saban's ability to evolve, to adapt, to continually educate himself, to constantly challenge and set his own standard, that when you start to really look at the arc of 2009, 2010, with, you know, defensive linemen that look like, you know, Mount Cody, with a philosophy on offense that was to pound the ball with big backs, with, you know, 21 personnel and 22 personnel and game managing quarterbacks and taking shots off of play action, to then getting into the spread and the dual threat and the evolution to now what he has with this offense of a willingness to say, I understand the game has changed. I understand putting up 45 and 50 points is how we're going to win football games. You know, if you ever told me that Nick Saban's going to be comfortable giving up 46 points in an SEC game, not that he was comfortable, but he understood that this is still an elite level team that can win a certain way. I just love the evolution of the coach. I think he's going to be a case study when we reflect for business leaders, for strategists, for self-improvement as to how you should always approach your life in any way, to constantly challenge yourself, to be comfortable being uncomfortable. This is such a far leap from the head coach, from the strategy, from the overall philosophy that you knew it to be just a decade ago, and it's marvelous to see.
Hey, I want to stay with him for a moment, Joe, because you've been around him so often. We all think we know him. I don't know whether any of us really do, but it did seem this year was obviously different. It was different for everyone, but yeah, while most of us were going crazy in March and April, it seemed like he was in the bunker having already figured it out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of who he is, right? That's how you have to be wired. But there had to be some give and take this year, Paul, that you had to be responsive to players' needs. You had to be willing to change. There were things that he had to deal with this year that if you told him a year ago or 2 years ago, he just would probably be incapable of even thinking that way. Everybody did. The whole world had to be a little flexible. Perhaps on the spectrum of the coaching spectrum of, you know, the Frank Kush on one side, the militant field general on one side, to the ultimate players coach, let's call that the Pete Carroll side of the spectrum on the other side, I think everybody had to take a leap towards being more of a players coach, being more understanding. Now, I do think, and I think that Kirk and Chris did a great job last night, and a lot of the national writers did a great job in the last 24 hours, of understanding what this team was, that this was a team that was very self-motivated, self-governing, holding themselves accountable. And you could get to that place with them where they were going to also set their own standard, where they were going to act in a certain way, go about their business in a certain way, make the target winning and take that on very seriously, and not really think past last night of zeros hitting the end of that game clock and being national champions.
Joe Tessitore, his perspective on Alabama, Devontae Smith, Nick Saban, and the 2020 season. It's over, Joe. It's hard to imagine. We've never spent more time talking about getting to a season, and it did seem to move rather quickly.
Yeah, listen, we give everybody credit, and I've said this on your show before, and as the parent to a college football player, give credit to the players first and foremost. Without the players sacrificing, dedicating themselves to allowing for the sport to take place, you know, we wouldn't even be sitting here talking about this right now. Paul, you know, I'm really looking forward, though, to, you know, everybody being in a much safer, healthier place and getting back to that pageantry and that excitement we know. We had the sport on the field this year, but there was, I think we're going to be talking about when we get together for that first week next year, is the sound of the sport being different. There's a sound to college football and energized into college football that's only unique to college football in our country. And next year, when you hear a full band, and when you hear the roar, and you have Tiger walks, and you have entries, and you have the live mascots, and you have those grand, you know, star hype machines that we're used to with all the tradition and pageantry, the sport's going to sound a lot different to you. And I think that's going to be a welcome change.
Joe, many thanks. We certainly have enjoyed it. We will stay in touch, and we hope you and your family are well. We will speak very soon, I hope.
Likewise. Happy New Year to everybody. Thanks for the visit, Paul.
Joe Tessitore, always fantastic. It's just a treat to be able to converse with him. We are heading to a break. We are not done yet. We have another, 3 hours to go. We hope you'll give us a ring at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great to have all of you with us here on a Tuesday afternoon. I know a lot of bleary-eyed fans out there, but we appreciate you shouldering on and hanging out with us for a couple hours. So let's go to Jim in Virginia. Hey, Jim. Thanks. Welcome.
Thanks. Hey, Paul. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
Paul, I wanted to tell you, I'm 70 years old. Lord knows I've seen my share of some incredible Alabama teams. And I'll leave it to the pundits to decide which team is the greatest. But this group was one heck of a team. And it was really a genuine blessing to watch them. It, not only the players, but the coaches and the staff. You know, Mac, Devontae, Najee, and so many of the others were so special on so many levels. And beyond their performances on the field, which is saying something, you know, Coach Saban talks about the leadership on this team and the fact that this team's group of leaders were often among the best people on the team. That really showed, and the thing that really impressed me, and I really felt moved to comment about it, was the degree of selflessness that those young guys had by not opting out. They came back. They came back for their team. They came back to finish the job. And that's so unique and refreshing in this day and age. I thought it was really special. And finally, I have to comment that Coach Saban's humility, when he answered that question that someone posed him about what it felt like to be better than Coach Bryant, when he said that Coach Bryant was in a class by himself and Alabama wouldn't be where they are today if it weren't for him, and that he brought to Alabama all the traditions that they have been able to build on. What more can you say about that except to say that's why Coach Saban is such a class act and a wonderful ambassador, not only for the game but for the university. And it was just such a privilege. This whole season was just remarkable.
Jim, agree totally. Thank you so much for saying that and for calling. And John is up next. Hey, John, you're in Louisiana.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hey, Paul. John here. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Active duty military for 19 years, stationed out in Louisiana. So I want to thank you very much. Big fan of listening to your show. I have a two-part question. One, being if and when, or actually to get your opinion on if and when Nick Saban should retire at a high level that he's at right now at coaching at Bama. And then secondly, do you foresee Notre Dame making it back to the playoffs, if not the championship, in the next 5 years?
John, first of all, thank you very much. And you probably hear this all the time, but you're making a tremendous contribution, or have made a tremendous contribution to this country, and we all appreciate your superior service. As far as Notre Dame, I think they will. I think that program is in really good shape. They're missing a piece or two that puts them at the top shelf, but they're not far behind. As far as Nick Saban, I am perplexed to even discuss this issue, because a couple of years ago, I thought he was getting close to retirement. It just seemed natural. But today, he doesn't seem anywhere near retirement, because he has adjusted and adapted so brilliantly. And I think as a result of that, you know, his biggest challenge is really in keeping a staff together. The staff you saw last night had completely turned over from the one that was part of the national championship team 3 years ago. That is unheard of. But that is his mastery, that he's able to bring so many people in. He has so many analysts that he can make a change if somebody leaves, because people are always going to leave. His recruiting is better today than it's ever been, which is saying quite a bit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I appreciate your input. And do you foresee if Notre Dame improves their staffing and their recruiting, that they could make it to the championship in the next 5 years?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, Notre Dame right now, when you look at this year and the last couple, I mean, it's one of the four, five, six best programs in the country. But they just need that. I mean, when you compare Notre Dame's roster to Alabama's roster, it's really not a fair fight. Hey, thank you very much again. Really nice of you. Let's check out Ike in Georgia. Hey, Ike. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you.
My congratulations to Alabama and the coaching staff. My wife Pam and I are big Georgia Bulldog fans, but you have to say congrats to Coach Sarkisian. The game plan that he put together for that Alabama offense was just off the chain. It was just really, really outstanding to watch those guys played the way they did. But shout out has to go to the offensive line as well. I have a question for you as well. Seeing the team play the way they did, do you think that there was a disadvantage as far as the amount of games and the conditioning that Ohio State played?
I don't think the number of games was a significant impact at this point. When you get to the 6 or 7 mark, you've played enough games. That's a healthy number. I think Ohio State had issues last night from a health standpoint, and I know that was discussed, but you know, they were without a couple of really important players. Now everyone is at this point. Alabama had had some injury issues as well with two of its best players. You know, the center, Dickerson, and obviously Waddle, but they were able to fill those gaps. And I think if Ohio State had had a completely healthy team, Alabama would have still won, but they would have benefited from having a few more players, which they did not have last night. And then they had a very unfortunate injury earlier in the game to Sermon, who has really carried them lately.
Well, thanks, Paul. I certainly appreciate it. I appreciate you taking my call. I know you have a lot of other callers, and I'll keep watching, and so will my wife.
Well, I hope so. I thank you. It does, for some reason, this always feels like the last day of school, and, you know, today we come back and pick up our grades. It has that feeling, and this has been really quite a journey. For the last 10 months, I'll never forget when sports shut down exactly 10 months ago today. The question suddenly turned to college football. Basketball was done, baseball was done, softball. And, you know, we started to wonder, you know, are we going to have a college football season? And that became the drumbeat literally every day, all day, until we finally got it in. But I do think Tessitore made a really good point, though. To me now, the excitement isn't so much about next season, which is a long way off. It's about how much more comfortable and normal it is going to feel. All of us did things this season as fans, as commentators, as contributors, as athletes that we've never encountered before. And I think that is why there is this collective sigh of relief and sense of deep appreciation that we did make it. We are up against a break. We hope you'll stick around. More calls at 855-242-7285. Deron Payne joining us next. He knows a little bit about winning a national championship. He's right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. It's great to have you with us. Our next guest, Deron Payne, has played in only three national championship games at Alabama. He was the defensive MVP of his last one when Alabama beat Georgia. He is now with the Washington football team. He was a first-round pick, and they just got through completing their season in the playoffs. Deron, thank you, and thanks for making time. And first of all, congratulations on the year in Washington. I know it was quite a satisfying season, and you would have preferred to keep playing, but it was still pretty amazing.
Yeah, thank you for having me. But at the beginning of the season, it started off a little rocky, but me and my teammates, we just kept pushing on, and I'm just excited on how we finished the season, how we fought the whole way through, and I'm just ready to see what our new team brings.
I know you've got a lot of friends on that team, but you got a few former. I know, you know, one of your cohorts is another first rounder from Alabama, Jonathan. You got SEC players all over the place. What's it like for you guys, not during the NFL season, but on Saturdays when the Tide and everyone else is playing?
Oh, during the college football season, we really just talk a lot of smack in the locker room. Like no one can compete with us, and. Like guys like Chase Young, really Chase Young, that's the only guy that can talk that we listen to, but other than that, that's it.
Well, I would imagine Chase and you weren't watching the game together last night. That might have been uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, we definitely would have got after him. I still got to send him a text this morning. I forgot to get it out to him, but I'm going to get it to him.
They could have used him last night trying to stop that Alabama team. Let me just get your thoughts on this team, then I want to reflect back on your career. But, I mean, we talk about Alabama's great defensive teams, and you played on some of them. But Deron, as far as an offensive explosion, an offensive team, how would you describe what we watched all season long with the mastery of these young men?
It was special just watching the O-line compete all game long. Najee Harris, Matt, all those guys, they just some dogs, man. I really can't explain how proud I am, because I know I was there when they were like freshmen. So just to see them grow up and just lead the team to their own national championship, it makes me proud.
You played in that famous game 3 years ago when Alabama last won the title. You had a monster game and helped keep Alabama's hopes alive when things were not looking particularly great. Devontae Smith, of course, with the walk-off. As a defensive guy, I realize, you know, your job is to get in and get to the quarterback, but I know you've seen tremendous receivers, and your team had a number of them, but what do you think separates him from at least everyone this season?
His ability to get the ball and just find the end zone every time. Him creating separation is like no other. I've seen him do it before, times and times at practice, but I didn't know it was going to be like like it was this year.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Let's go back a couple of years because you played, as I mentioned at the introduction, in three national championship games. That's pretty amazing, although it's not unusual at Alabama. Even though you've been in big games, you played in one Saturday or Sunday night. What is that feeling like for a player? You're playing big games every weekend in the SEC, but you get to that final game, and you had two against Clemson and one against Georgia. What is that feeling like for you?
It just feels like everything's on the line. Like all the hard work you put in during summer training and like the off season is like this is what we work for. So like everything just doesn't matter, but the moment and. It's really indescribable how I feel every time we go out for a big game, but it's just like I lock in and then good things always seem to happen.
Duron, you can't talk about Alabama football without talking about Nick Saban, and certainly he took another step toward just absolute legendary status. Well, let me correct myself. He's already at absolute legendary status, but in terms of a historical perspective, describe what it was like being around him those couple of years in Tuscaloosa.
Despite what everybody thinks, Coach Saban, he definitely has a fun side. He likes to have fun and meetings, but he definitely is a serious coach. He wants us to get the job done. He wishes the best for us. I love Coach Saban. I don't know where I would be without him today. So I'm just happy to have him as my coach.
What do you think, for those who have not played for him or know him? Obviously, a lot of people watching, they see him on the sideline, and they hear people like me or you or others say, he's this or he's that or he's up here. What makes him so great?
Just his commitment to excellence. Like he knows what it takes to be great, and he's gonna push you at it every single day, and he's not gonna want anything other than that, and it works obviously.
Well, Duron, I know what's the off season like for you, or how long is it? I know your season ended over the weekend. What do you do next?
Right now, I'm just enjoying waking up without an alarm. So I probably pick up the training this week coming. Like I'll probably take a week off and then just start back training slowly and then just build back up. So I'm just taking it easy nowadays.
How would you describe playing in college versus pro, other than the money? Is it how different is it?
I feel like it's more so you have to put your mind to it. No one's gonna just wake you up in the morning and tell you it's time to go do this and that. You gotta do it yourself. Like it's all like really just how you go about your routines day in and day out. So in college, you might have a set routine from the training staff, from the coach. And in the NFL, you have to go in and get the workouts, go in, eat right, do all that stuff by yourself. So that's probably the hardest part, the hardest adjustment.
Well, Deron, congratulations on the season. Thanks for making time for us. I know Alabama fans are excited to see you again, and we hope to reconvene sometime down the road. All the best.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Deron Payne, great Alabama former player, now with the Washington football team. Let's take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Many more guests, including the former commissioner, the retired commissioner of the SEC, joining us later.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great to have you here. And Mitch is up next in Texas. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, I hope you are doing great on a night when we were all up late.
Thank you very much.
To see Nick Saban become the greatest college football coach ever is if there was a doubt.
No.
I will make it quick, Paul. I want to touch on just a couple of things. Kind of strange on a day like this to bring this up, but so many programs in the SEC, which is sort of we're all sort of the classroom sometimes, and you and people like Cecil Hurd and those guys are kind of the professors, but so many programs seem to be in disarray, mainly Alabama's, I guess, two top rivals, Auburn and Tennessee, and, you know, with coaching turmoil back and forth and no more Gus Malzahn, who knows about Jeremy Pruitt. But I want to put a bug in your ear. You used to do this in your newspaper column kind of at the end of the season ever so often. What would you think about maybe getting a sports writer or two or someone who covers each SEC program and do not – this would have to be probably a whole show. I'm not even sure you'd want to commit to this. But maybe get those guys, some of them ladies, on and do like a wrap up of the season in a week or two, and just maybe let them talk about what they expect for next year personnel wise.
By the way, I think it is a good idea because today really, beginning tomorrow, I should say, is the first chance we really had to catch our breath in a while, and I think that's a fantastic idea. Every we have fans of every imaginable school paying attention to this program. So we will certainly do that. I appreciate your suggestion.
Well, thank you. And we'll say one more thing. What did you think about the Dickerson kid coming in late?
Oh, that was amazing. That was so great. No, that was, I don't know why I was nervous for him, but I mean, nothing was going to happen, but he wanted to be in and he deserved to make that snap. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's stay in Texas. We had Mitch, and now we had Matt, who is in Austin. Hey, Matt. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, obviously, Alabama was a big winner last night, but I wonder if Texas wasn't a winner also just because of how well Steve Sarkisian called the plays last night. What do you think?
I think it was a good night for Texas. First of all, it was in front of tens of millions of people. Texas's coach was presented in a very positive light, and that matters. I mean, there's not a high school player in the country that wasn't watching the game and wasn't seeing Sarkisian on the sideline.
I think he's already got a recruit for the 22 class that was announced today. I just like the fact that in the second half, even if DeMonte Smith is out, Waddle is hampered, their center, of course, didn't play until the very end. Even with, you know, second stringers in there, and of course, they're Alabama second stringers, but his schemes and his play calling was still getting guys wide open. So that gives us some hope at Texas, I guess. Hey, one other thing I wanted to ask you, I thought it must have been fake news, but I saw that Jim Harbaugh got extended at Michigan.
He did.
Is that right?
That's legitimate news. It should be fake.
Is there a new slogan at Michigan called commitment to mediocrity, or what do you think is going on there?
Well, that's what's going on there. I think Michigan's leadership is just so screwed up that they did not want to make a change because they really didn't have the stomach to go through a coaching search, nor did they have the candidate. So they just stayed the course, which makes, in my mind, no sense. Aaron is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
Aaron, we are doing great.
All right. Thank you for taking my call. Paul, I just wanted to bring up something right quick, man. I was watching the game, and I'm a big, huge Alabama fan, and a lot of times we get so wrapped up into skill players and, you know, your Nigel Harris, your Devontae Smith, and all of those guys. But, man, I don't know if any of the other callers have called and talked about it, but Will Reichert, man, was someone that really stood out to
me
in this game.
You're right.
To go a whole season without missing an extra point or field goal. And I'm not sure. My brain just went blank. But I'm not sure if it was Will Reichert also that I was always frustrated every game that why can't we kick the ball in the end zone? But last night, every kick went right to the end zone, and I was really impressed with Will Reichert and a great job he's done this year for our team.
No, you're right. And how many times, Aaron, over these many years have Alabama fans cringed when the place kicker comes out in a critical situation? And the place kicker has cost Alabama. I mean, we all know about the Georgia game a couple of years ago, but I remember even in the LSU game in the 11 season and countless others, a missed field goal is just an absolute showstopper. I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you very much. That young man does not get much credit. Dr. Charles is on the air on this Tuesday afternoon. How are you, Doc?
Well, I'm fine. Very happy about the outcome. Always pull for Tennessee unless they're playing Alabama. Wanted to make several comments. I remember back during my medical school days watching Bryant coach when he was in his prime. And, Paul, maybe you can, when I'm finished with this comment, you can think back. During those days, the offensive line was very small, probably averaging somewhere around about 200 pounds a man, very small and very quick. And those are the kind of players that Bryant won with back in those days. Really incredible. Some of the other teams like Nebraska and other football teams used a lot bigger offensive linemen than Alabama did. And then things changed. It was something about substitutions. I'm not quite sure what it was. But Coach Bryant didn't really adapt that well to that. Now, I remember right towards the end of his coaching career, I was watching the Liberty Bowl. Alabama hadn't had a very good season.
Terrible.
And they were in the Liberty Bowl. And it just wasn't the same Alabama team. Saban, on the other hand, he just seems to be almost like a chameleon. He is really able to adapt, and it's almost more than that. He's almost leading the pack. He's not two steps behind. He's two or three steps ahead. I had a lot of respect for Coach Bryant. I watched him for years in person and on TV, and never missed one of his talk shows. But I just have to say that Saban seems to be in a class by himself.
Well, Doc, I have to run here because we're at the top of the hour. But I mean, in fairness, Coach Bryant did adapt when he changed the wishbone. But you know, late in his career, especially his final year, he was not well. And I do think he had a lot of staff issues as well. We are heading to a break. We hope you'll stick around.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.